Good morning. It always amazes me that, can you all hear me back there? Sounds kind of echoey here, but it always amazes me that Pastor Mike and the elders allow me to stand before you in the pulpit, and I won't say it's preaching, but sharing God's word with you. And based on the sermon title, finances, almost a biblical view, probably that gives them cause to wonder too. My attempt is to share from you from God's word. But if you know me at all, it's very difficult for me to talk without sprinkling in at least a little bit of my own life's experience. And I can't say 100% that that's always going to be biblical, but it's going to be real. It's going to be from my heart. But hopefully that will add a little bit of color. Maybe I tend to be a little dry when I speak. And by the way, I just might add that I apologize for my voice. The heat has a way of affecting my voice. And I've got cough drops and water, so hopefully we'll get through this. Well, first of all, let me tell you what I'm not going to talk about today. I'm not going to talk about insurance. I'm not going to talk about estate planning. I'm not going to talk about retirement, even though I'm in the throes of trying to make a transition from the working world to retirement, and I probably could share a lot on that. I'm not going to talk about gifting, something that Pam and I have been working through over the last couple of years. We have a perspective that rather than wait until I'm dead and gone, that we can pass on some of what God has blessed us with to our friends and family and charities and to kind of help them along. I'm not going to talk about gifting. I'm not going to talk about investing. We could spend a lot of time talking about investing. And there's all kinds of philosophies out there. We've already heard a lot of stewardship discussion about investing in others and in relationships and pouring ourselves into other people. And I think that's the kind of investing that we should be focusing on. And I'm not going to talk about one of my least favorite topics, which is taxes. We could spend a lot of time on taxes. These are all important areas. And as a part of your financial stewardship or management of what God has blessed you with, these are areas that you need to think about and give serious thought to in the overall umbrella of finances. Instead, I want to weave into today's discussion some pretty big words that are more directed toward our spiritual condition as it relates to finances. So we'll be talking about attitude, pretty big word, means a lot of different things to different people. We'll talk about intentionality. Just like in our relationships, I think our finances, we have to be intentional about them and not just, come to the end of the week or the end of the month and say, where did all that money go? Be intentional. And I'll touch briefly, although I'm not going to talk about preparing a budget, I'm going to talk about how important it is to plan through a budget. I'm going to talk about disciplined giving. Discipline in all areas of life is very difficult to deal with. But it's important when it comes to finances to be disciplined. If you have a budget, to kind of stick to it. A little bit of discussion on proportional giving. We're not all blessed with the same careers, the same income levels. So we'll talk a little bit about what it means to give proportionally to what God has given to us. We'll touch briefly on continuous and consistent giving. And then maybe a word or two on what does it mean to have personal contentment and satisfaction in the area of giving. Our scripture this morning is taken out of Matthew, the sixth chapter, starting with verse 19 through the 25th verse. And I call this a beginning point because there's lots and lots of ways to start a discussion on finances. But this seems to be a pretty good eye-opener, beginning point for us. So if you'll read along with me, starting with the 19th verse of the sixth chapter of Matthew. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And then the light in you is darkness. If the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Let's pray briefly. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to share from your word, and I trust that as I speak these things from your word, that your heart would be touched, that we would honor you in what we say and do here today, that these guidelines that we discuss will be thoughts that we will think about in the days and weeks and months ahead as we consider how much you've blessed us and how much you've given to us and how much we have to offer as we manage what you've given to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For me personally, there are a couple people that have had a significant role in my life. One goes back quite a few years, Larry Burkett. Anybody heard of Larry Burkett? Very, very wonderful Christian man that actually I brought this volume with me. Over the years, he taught so much on finances that he decided to sit down and start with Genesis 1 and go all the way through the end of Revelation and pick out every phrase that dealt with finances. And that became a very large volume. But then he went further, one step further, and he put it into a set of topics so that you can now, if you have a question on something, you can go look up that particular topic, and it will give you those scriptures. And I've had this volume for quite a while, and Larry Burkett has been one that I've learned a lot from. And let me say that I will not give you the false impression that I know everything there is about money and finances. What I do know, I will try to share some of that with you today, but it's a lifelong commitment to studying God's word and understanding that he owns everything and that we're simply managers of what he's provided us with. The other one is Dave Ramsey, who's a more contemporary Christian that speaks about finances, and his big theme is to try to get you out of debt. If you're in debt, he provides 7 steps, 10 steps, whatever it is, to financial freedom. And I've taken several of Dave's courses and find that to be very helpful. Challenging, because some of the steps require a lot of discipline and a lot of sacrifice, because you may find yourself eating spaghetti and rice a lot in order to pay off those debts that somehow you've been entrapped with. Years ago, I gave up credit cards. I'm not going to talk about credit cards, but I gave up credit cards and went to a debit card. And I found that to be an important step in my life, because it's very easy if you've got the plastic to just purchase something on impulse and not think about what it is you're doing and what's really valuable to you. So those two individuals were very important. There have been many others. This particular quote I'm taking from a gentleman by the name of Henry N. Parsley, Jr. I really don't know the man, but in studying this week and last week, I found this quote, which I think describes this church pretty well and describes our approach as financial managers of God's, what God has given us. He says, a church that understands the vision of God is one that is reaching out to spread the love of Christ boldly, inclusively, generously, and without holding back. It is a church committed to making disciples. What is our mission statement? Making disciples of Jesus Christ. To making disciples and equipping all persons for ministry. It is a church where worship is a transforming experience and where a positive gospel is preached that touches the heart. And this is the key phrase that I want to focus on. It is a church that gives more away than it keeps for itself. It is a church eager to plant new congregations and committed to serving the poor as generously as Christ has served us. That is the body of Christ that we are meant to be. And I really like that part of giving away more than we keep for ourselves. I'm going to touch on that a little bit later when I deal with that horrible word called tithe. It brings shivers through everybody's spine, right? By the way, I should mention that one of the elders told me that I could say anything I wanted on finances as long as it agreed with him. And he never told me what he agreed, what he felt or believed, but so I'm hoping that it at least partially lines up with his views. But in many ways, what I just read to you describes this church. We would not have a Blessed Hope Avid Christian Church here in Waterville without the sacrifice of time, service, and money that you people have made over the years. You gave and God multiplied. I go back to my roots, which is in farming. I grew up on a dairy farm until I went to high school. And farmers know that seed must be given away for it to increase. If you keep seed in a sack, it doesn't do any good. When you plant one corn seed, if the crows and the deer don't get it, if you plant one corn seed, it produces a stalk with hundreds of corn kernels, the principle of a single seed becoming much, much more. 2 Colossians 9:10 says, "He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." I think one of the principles that I've tried to follow over the years is that God will increase the things that you do that has his approval. Finding yourself in the will of God is very important. It's a struggle. And I don't want to say that finances is easy. Managing money is easy. It causes long discussions into the hours with your into the evening with your spouse when you come to decisions that you have to make as a family. It's not easy sometimes to know exactly what to do. But if we're in the will of God, I believe he's going to honor that. I took the time to just jot down a few things that have happened here in the church since 1985, when I moved down here from the county. I had been an engineer for Maine Public Service up in Aroostook County for 15 years, and my parents and my wife's parents were getting older. Our family was all down here, and I made a very difficult decision to move down here. And the church was fairly new, and some of you may remember that at that period in time, downstairs was completely open. There was nothing down there. And one of the things that this church did through the generous giving of its people, that we furnished the downstairs Sunday school rooms. We call it the Schumann Family, the Schumann Family Fellowship Hall, and the Nellie Lake Library. All of that was completed in around 85 and 86, shortly after we came here. Again, requiring a lot of the things that I mentioned at the beginning, sacrificial giving on the part of your people. We raised the finances for three pastors to make down payments on their homes. One of the changes in pastorates over the last 15 to 20 years is rather than have a parsonage, they're building and buying their own homes so that they can build some equity for themselves. We built the Family Life Center. A little bit controversial in some ways. I don't want to get into that, but a lot of sacrifice that paid for that building next door. And I believe it's served a wonderful usage over the years. And we paid off the loan in record time, saving thousands of dollars thanks to you people. We provided the stair lifts for those in physical needs. That was a wonderful addition. and we need to do more in that area, particularly as I get older. And the other thing is, when you do get older, you find out that some of those big projects, part of the project that we did when I first came here in 85, I say we, you did, was the carpets. And Mike mentioned this morning that we're going to be moving stuff out of the floor areas in order to put down a new carpet. I remember being at CMP and finding out some of the projects that I was so proud of when I was first there in 1985. I saw those being retired. You see your doctors leaving the practice, and your dentist and so forth, all those people, you outlive them, and it's one of those things that happens. But thanks to all of you, our church has accomplished a lot with God's help. And there are plans in our current budget to do even more. And I sort of encourage you at our annual meeting to take part as we make those decisions, make decisions on what it is we're going to invest in for the coming year. And some of those decisions, so thanks to all of you, our church has accomplished a lot with God's help. But I have to ask a few tough questions. Are we doing all that we can for God? Can we do more? Are we following God's principles for managing His money? Maybe a tougher question is, are you doing your part? Perhaps it's time for some self-examination. And these are not questions to make you feel guilty. It's always healthy to reassess our vision and our priorities, both individually and as a church. So let's look a little closer at this passage in Matthew, along with some other scriptures along the way. So I said it's about attitude. There are more than 1,000 references in Scripture, in the Bible, to money, second only to love. They're there for a reason. I believe that even though it's been said to me that some pastors don't like to speak about money, because sometimes, you know, the wrong information can be conveyed that we're just after your money. We're really after your heart. We're after you becoming all that you can be for Jesus Christ. And I think how you manage and steward his generous giving to you is important to your heart's condition. You know, too long we've pretended that Christians don't have any financial problems. This is nonsense. We are subject to the same temptations as the non-believer. It's only with God's blessing that we can escape those snares. So giving is more of an attitude than a requirement. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. This is an important verse. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Again, it's from the heart. 3 weeks ago, I did the Penny Crusade, and the sound didn't work, so maybe it's a jinx. So I'll try to get through. I think you can hear me if I stand a little closer to the mic. Here's some secrets about money stewardship. No other discipline topic elicits more negative reactions than talking about money. You know, you feel like sometimes when you talk to people about money that you're meddling in their own personal affairs, and you know shouldn't be there, right? But it's healthy to talk about money because, again, where you spend your money, the things that you find important in your life, those are directly related to where your heart is. So stewardship is not a money concept. It's a discipline, discipleship concept. It's a giving concept. Sometimes we want to hold on to what we think is ours as opposed to giving it away. Stewardship is about our value system. What do you really value in your life? Sometimes you can go into someone's yard and see from the toys that they have where their value is. Pam gives me a hard time. I bought a tractor, and with pure motives. My son was building a house, and I figured we needed a tractor in order to build a house. Probably we could have done some other things. So, like I said, my example is not perfect. You probably have the same kind of issues in your life. So how are you doing at managing all of your finances? What is your most valuable possession? That's probably where your heart is. Keep in mind that you are managing your finances for God, and that's sometimes difficult. You work hard all week, and you feel it's time to be able to have some of the things that you couldn't have before. I grew up, and I've said this to some of you before, sort of like the Waltons. The house burned when my dad got out of World War II. He bought this piece of property, and all it had was the woodshed. And he put tar paper on it, no running water, no bathrooms, and that was my house. And whenever other kids were taken out behind the woodshed to get a spanking, I was taken out behind the house because the woodshed was where I lived. So I was poor, and I know the value of money. And my biggest problem with money is that I tend to hold on to it. And I'm getting a little bit better at that. There are no get-rich-quick tricks out there. If you see a scheme that says, you know, do this and you'll never have to worry about finances again, sometimes the lottery tickets, and I'm not saying that that's necessarily bad in itself, but you know, there are no ways to get rich quick. Worrying about money is not profitable. So if you worry about money, stop worrying. Put your trust in God. Laziness is not tolerated. When we grew up on the farm, you worked, and I've worked ever since I was old enough to wear long pants. Deceitfulness and greediness are unacceptable. There are ways to cheat on your taxes, cheat God in many ways, and being deceitful and greedy is not an acceptable practice. And obviously, coveting what other people have is a sin. You know, keeping up with the Joneses, that's not necessarily God's way of being a good steward. And I find this one to be very important. Measure your needs versus your wants carefully. Is it a need or is it a want? And you have to put a lot of thought into that. And if you are married or if you're in a family situation, you need to consult and make decisions on a family basis. Avoid becoming self-indulgent. You know, we can do this in the food we eat. We can do this in any area of life, but we can do it in finances too. Until a Christian acknowledges God's total ownership, he cannot experience God's direction in financial management. So that's the starting point, is recognizing that it's all God's and we're simply put here to manage how he blesses us. Second point is giving has to be intentional and disciplined. Pam will tell you that ever since we got married, I've had a budget. And let me say right up front, her and I haven't always agreed eye to eye on everything when it comes to finances. There's been some compromise, but we've both agreed not to compromise when it comes to giving to God. We have disciplined ourselves. Discipline allows us to get through those difficult times. For me, the most two difficult times in my life have been when I made the decision to leave my job in Aroostook County with Maine Public Service and come down here. It was a very, very traumatic time for us financially. And I won't go into details, but if I ever was close to bankruptcy, that was it. I was paying on a home in Washburn. I had put an option down on a house here, and I was living in a one-room apartment in Augusta with the five of us, and things were pretty tight. God got us through it. The other was putting three kids through college. Some of you have had that experience, or will have it. For years, we drove $500 beater cars we'd ever pass the inspection. Often the number one principle in buying a car was, was it inspected? Because if it was inspected, at least it was going to go for a year. We went through some tough times, but we got our kids through school. I can say with integrity that through all of those years, and ever since Pam and I were married, we've always stuck to our budget, always been disciplined. And I believe personally, again, this is me saying this, I think it's scriptural, that God has blessed us for being faithful. So, the big word, yes, I believe in tithing. There's a lot of discussion about that in terms of, well, that's an Old Testament principle, it doesn't really apply. Do you know that in the Old Testament they actually gave 23 1/3%? There was three tithes. And along with that they had taxes that, you think your taxes are bad, taxes back then were horrible. People had a hard time financially, and I believe that's why God has so much in his word about finances, and nearly 2/3 of the parables from Jesus relate to money. So for me, I've stuck with that. It's a good guideline. If it's not a New Testament principle, which I think it is, but at least it's a good guideline, a starting point. But as we'll see when we get on to the next couple of points, that sometimes you have to give beyond the tithe. Special needs that come up, both in the body and in your family situation. But I do strongly encourage you to make a budget if you don't have one. I have done some financial counseling to try to help people put things in order. And I'd be more than happy to share with you my approach to budgeting. I probably am tougher than Larry Burkett and Dave Ramsey, so just be careful what you ask, right? So let's talk about sacrificial giving. I believe that sacrificial giving can only be demonstrated by Christians that are absolutely committed to God's plan. Sacrificial giving is almost unknown to us today here in America. Worldly motives have clouded our thinking and dulled our sensitivity. God will not allow his work to tarry for lack of funds. I truly believe that. He simply will redistribute the necessary funds to Christians who are sincerely seeking his will and who will sacrifice personal luxuries for the need of others. Here are some principles for sharing, and I'm only going to give you, if you've got a pen, write them down or come see me afterwards. I don't have the time to go into all these scriptures, but there are those that we are not to help. You know, what comes to mind are people that just aren't willing to work and to put their effort into it and looking for a handout. You're obligated to share with your family, not only your immediate family, but your extended family. And this is an area that Pam and I have been working on. We have family members that haven't been blessed as much as we have, and so we've been working in that area. Sharing with the body, that's giving to the church. And I have the scripture reference for these. I won't go into them since I'm not going to read them. Sharing with the shepherds, sharing with our pastors and the staff here at the church. It's important as they serve us and give us food from the bread of life, from the scriptures, Sunday after Sunday. It's important to share with them. And there are scripture verses for sharing with the unsaved. It's not just about our inner community. That's how we reach other people for Christ, is sharing what we have. Let me just touch on proportional giving. As I said earlier, not all of us have the same careers and make the same amount of money. The lesson I would throw out to you as an example is what I refer to as the widow's mite. In Luke 21, starting with verse 1, it says, Jesus looked upon and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow putting in two small copper coins. And he said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of poverty, put in all she had to live on, trusting in God. So I believe that it's not a principle that we all give the same amount. I think that as God blesses you, honoring him with the tithe, with a sacrificial gift, according to the abundance that you have, is very important. Continuous and consistent giving. You've all heard of the baseball player that goes into a batting slump. You know, he's 0 for 30 and the fans are yelling, get him out of there, he can't hit, and all this kind of stuff. We as a church go through a slump in the summer. I'm actually very pleased that as I look out, a good number of you have chosen to be here today. I half expected that would be a sprinkling of people because of 4th of July week coming and this beautiful weather that we're going to be having, but you show by your attendance your commitment to Christ. We need to avoid summer slumps. You know, the needs of the church, the needs of your family go on regardless of whether you're there or not. 2 Colossians 8:12 says, For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased by your burden, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathers much had nothing left over, and whoever gathers little had no lack. So it's important for us to be disciplined and continuous and consistent in our giving. I think if we do some of these things, that we're going to find contentment and satisfaction. When we get through those difficult times and look back on how we approached our finances, I think that Christians who are seeking God's will and God's principles paint a pathway to peace and prosperity, because the author of the universe promises to manage our finances. Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. And I want to close with a discussion that Jesus had with a rich young ruler that has always left an impression on me. And I'd sum this up by saying, don't walk away. When Christ comes into your life and asks you to help him or to support him in ministry, don't walk away. In Matthew 19:16, it says, and behold, a man came up to him saying, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. In reply, the ruler said, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these I have kept. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess, and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And then he says, come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Don't walk away. If you follow God's principles for managing what he has blessed you with in the area of finances, if you have a good attitude, if you're intentional, disciplined, sometimes give sacrificially, give proportionally, and give consistently as God leads, I believe you will find personal contentment and satisfaction. Don't walk away when God says, come, follow me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these challenges from your word. We know that it's not easy being a good steward of our finances. We just pray that some of these things that we've said today will cause us to stop and think. And as we read your word, that we would be committed to being better managers of your, better stewards of what you provide us with. Continue to bless this church and bless these people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.